Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What's good, H-Town? I got joined in the studio here, obviously, by my man Cecil Shorts III, 6-year NFL vet, former Houston Texans wide receiver. And we are joined on the line, radio.com, sports NBA insider, Beaumont, Texas native, baby, Kendrick Perk. Perk, what's up, baby?
Clint, please, how y'all doing, man? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, I got thanks for joining us. As you, I got first question out of the gate, man. You're in the restroom. You're in the restroom, and like any grown man, you're standing over the urinal. You're checking your phone. Your phone slips, lands in the urinal. What do you do?
Man, it's my own urine, and if the toilet was flushed before I used it, I gotta hurry up and grab it up out of there and wipe it down. I can't let it go like that.
My man, hey Perk, I gotta get my
hands dirty. I gotta go.
Hey Perk, they said Clint, well, what'd you do? I said I pinched with my left hand and I went fishing with my right, baby.
Hey, that's classy. That's some country stuff right there.
Hey, hell, they said, they were laughing at me. I said, man, that's $1,000 phone. I had to go get that
yeah.
thing. Hey, Perk, what up? Man, our Rockets, baby. The wheels have come smooth off, man. What's going on?
Well, see, here's the thing. To me, and I love him to death, but James Harden is what's going on. He has to get back focused. He's been playing horrible since the All-Star break, and it's time for him to get back on track. You know, get his mind back right at that time of the season. And you got people have to understand, you know, Daryl Morey and D'Antoni switched things up to put Russ and James Harden in position to be more successful. And that's why they're spacing the floor. And they depend on their two former MVPs that's still in their prime to go out there and have monster games. And when you have James Harden, who's not giving us those monster games, and I'm not talking about 25 points. That's a norm for James. I'm talking about those 50 pieces and you know, and Russ adding in his 30 to 35. That's when the Rockets are at their best. But right now, James Harden is struggling, and it's only going to work if both of those guys are in rare form and locked in.
Why do you think he's struggling though? Because it seems like after the All-Star break, that's when really Russell really took over, and he was like you and Clint talked about in the MVP category, possibly how he was attacking the rim and hitting open shots and doing incredible things. But it seemed like it was more Russ running the show and James stepping back. Does Russ have does James have an issue with that?
No, he don't. And to me, I didn't see it that way. The way I saw it was, to me, this is the best basketball that I've seen Russell Westbrook play in his career. And that's crazy to say, but he's picking his spots on when to attack. He's picking his spots on when to be aggressive and score the ball. And he's also, Russ take a back seat. And I didn't watch him a lot where he would pass it to James and be like, hey, go do your thing. I didn't just ran off 10 straight. Now it's time for you to go do your thing. And right now, I don't know, you know, what's the deal with James as far as his rhythm. But hopefully he gets it back and gets laser focus again and gets back to the James Harden that we've grown to love over the past few years.
Now, this is the last, and correct me if I'm wrong, so in the NFL we go by quarters, right? So it's like the first four
right.
games is the first quarter, second four games, second quarter. So how I view it right now, this is like the last quarter of the NBA season before the playoffs. And
right.
this is a time period where you look at the Lakers, look at the Clippers, look at the Bucks. They got their identity. They're rolling. They're getting playoff ready. Like we always say in football, if good teams win in November, December, in that third and fourth quarter. Is it time to panic for the Rockets, or can they figure out things and get rolling right now?
If it was only 10 games left, I would say it's time to panic. But it's more than 10, so they got a chance to get the ball rolling. All it takes is one game. One game, you know, get guys back in position, get the lineup shuffling around. You know, you've been having Eric Gordon, who's in and out of the lineup. You know, Russell Westbrook, who's, you know, who's, you know, he hasn't been playing back-to-backs. So guys' roles change. But once you get down, now it's time to get down to who is going to be this play. Because as a player, you know this. Excuse me. Going into the game, you're best when you know what you're going to get, if that makes sense. Like, you're at your best when you know, hey, I'm about to get this amount of minutes. I'm going to get these shots. This is the time that I come into the game. I usually come out around this time. I play at the beginning of the second. You know, that's when guys start getting their rhythm and chemistry together. And right now it's hard for the Rockets because guys are getting shuffled in and out of the lineup. But like I said, it only takes a couple of games for them to get back on track. Look at Memphis. Memphis lost five straight after the All-Star break. Now they're on a five-game winning streak. So true. At the end of the day, long as they address the elephant in the room and look themselves in the mirror, which I know the Rockets will do because they got great leadership over there with Tyson Chandler in that locker room. And they're going to address the problem, and I think they'll correct.
Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Kendrick Perkins joining us on Sports Radio 610. Insider calls are brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oils made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Perk, I mean, here's the deal, man. When I looked at Cecil and I were talking about it a little bit early, and it just dawned on me. Like, since Green and Carroll have been a little bit more involved in the rotation, it seems like the Rockets may have started this slide and they're not playing as well on the defensive end of the floor. They're not spacing as well on the offensive end of the floor. It appears that Westbrook he's driving into a crowd more often than he was on that 15-16 game run when they were playing at a high level. Could those two guys rotating in more instead of Ben McLemore getting as many minutes as he was, could that be causing a little bit of a disturbance there, or do you not buy into that?
Could be. I mean, you know, when you're playing with new guys and you get new additions, you know, it makes the GM look good if those guys can come in and help provide a spark or help your team get better. To me, I think this is on D'Antoni and his coaching staff to figure out what guys he's going to play and, you know, tell guys that can't carry their feelings on their shoulders, hey, just be ready. And he got to stick with a lineup and be consistent with it. That way guys, like I said before, are going to know, hey, I'm not playing right now, but I got to stay ready. I'm going to stay engaged. And the guys who are playing, they know which minutes they're going to play. You can't walk into a game not knowing if you're going to play a night or you're going to play 20 minutes, you mess around and play 40 minutes. Like, you can't mentally get ready like that. And it takes a mental focus. A game day is game day. You know this is. Like, you know, even as a football player, your game day ritual was everything to you. And, you know, I just feel like that's part of the reason.
Hey, Perk, I'm looking at the standings here, man.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of Chris Paul and OKC being in that five spot in the West and the Rockets being below them? What do you think when you see that?
Well, it's crazy because at the start of the season, I picked the OKC Thunder to make the playoffs. I thought they was going to be like the Clippers from last year, but they're better. They're a good team. Listen, they have CP3, who's an all-star, who has went there and did wonders. To me, they have the sixth man of the year winner in Dennis Schroeder. And they have four guys on their team that are averaging over 18 points a game. And that's very impressive. That Oklahoma City Thunder, they play hard-nosed defense. They play old-school basketball. They play old grind it out where they're going to get into you physically on the defensive end. Excuse me, offensively. they're going to move the ball for 24 seconds and run their plays and run their sets. It don't surprise me. Now this is a joke, but I am kind of serious. You think the Rockets want to play Denver first round? Then they probably don't want to play Utah. Would that be the case right now? I'm not saying they losing games on purpose. I'm just asking.
I don't think so. for me, it's – I know they were trying to get to the number two seed. And if you go to the number two seed – I mean, well, that's what D'Antoni was saying. Get to the number two seed, and then from there –
them days are over.
Them days are over now. But from there, they can maneuver their way, and they don't got to see, you know, one of the L.A. teams into the finals. But they ain't got no choice now. Because you got to – you the sixth seed. You got to fight your way to get as high as you can, and you're going to see somebody that second round.
Yeah, you're going to see somebody. And that's the good thing about the West. Like, people can say what they want. It's no ducking and dodging.
Uh-uh.
In order to get out the West, you're going to have to win a series, a hard-nosed fought series to get out. There's no easy way to the championship this year. So, you know, you're going to have to see somebody at some point in time. And, you know, I'm just looking at it. I just honestly think that if the Rockets were to play Denver, that they would probably beat them in five or six games, to be honest.
The Rockets would beat Denver?
Yeah.
Okay. Talk to me about this weekend. I feel like the Lakers made a statement. They went to – or Milwaukee came to town, and that was a great game, but they handled business. And then on L.A. versus L.A. yesterday in that Sunday game – Are they making a statement? Are they setting the tone for, like, is LeBron saying, I know LeBron in the MVP race is probably the MVP right now, but are the Lakers for real? Are they the best team in the West and possibly the NBA?
They are, and they're hitting their stride at the right time. Listen, they have the best dynamic duo. They added the Morris twin. They added Deion Waiters, who haven't played yet. But let me give props to those other role players who stepped their game up. Avery Bradley, Caruso, Dwight Howard, Caldwell Pope. These guys of late, the Lakers have won, what, not 10 out of their last 11?
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are starting to become stars in their roles. And they're coming out there, and each game is a different player. You know, in Denver, it was Dwight Howard with 14 and 12. And then all of a sudden last night, Avery Bradley and Caldwell Pope combined for almost 30 points between the two. And each game has been different. Even Kyle Kuzma, he didn't have his best game offensively, but, you know, 10 rebounds. I thought he had some great offensive putbacks. He brought energy to the game. And when you're watching this Laker team right now, they're doing something that every championship team would love to be doing right now at this part of the season, and that's hitting their stride. LeBron James has turned it up another level, and Anthony Davis, everybody talking about LeBron and everybody being in the MVP conversation. We need to mention Anthony Davis because he's been a monster on both ends of the floor over these last couple of games.
Perk, I don't know if you got a little bit of a cough or you got that black and mild going or what's going down.
It's that change of weather, man. Over the last 4 days, I've flown from Houston to Boston, and from Boston to L.A. Can you imagine that? So it's just a change of weather. I was in Boston, it was 29 degrees. And I left Houston, it was around 65, 70. Now I get to L.A., it's right around 60. I don't know what's going on. I'm just like, man.
Hey, look, I'm gonna be honest with you. For one of them perk checks, I can imagine that right there, baby. I ain't going to lie to you. hey, Kendrick Perkins, man, appreciate you joining us, man.
Hey, thank y'all. Anytime, my brothers. Y'all have a blessing.
You got it. That was Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Kendrick Perkins. Insider calls are brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oil's made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Make sure you check out his show, Scal and Pals, on Radio.com and the Radio.com app. A great, great, great listen, as you can tell. For all NBA fans, hell, it's a great listen for all fans out there. Perk is, hell, he's one of us, baby. He's from down in these parts, if you couldn't tell. But that show is with Perk and Brian Scalabrine and more. Just search Scal, S-C-A-L, wherever you find your podcast. One of the Rockets' biggest haters, you can probably guess who that is, He's stirring up another locker room. We'll tell you who next. Joined by my man Cecil Shorts III. You're listening to Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610. I've told you guys multiple times, man, some of the most entertaining TV that I watch outside of Netflix, I guess, and my...
Are you a Netflix guy?
I mean, I'm a Netflix direct. What do you call it on DirecTV where you search
on demand?
On demand, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm hooked into some of those series where you can watch 8 episodes straight. So it's
binge watching. Oh yeah,
it's dangerous. Yeah, oh, yeah. It's dangerous. Get a couple Coors Light and start binge watching something. It could be smoking the city before you know it.
That's not your number one love though. Your number one love is Investigation Discovery though, right?
Oh yeah, but a lot of those shows are. Base, same type of thing. A lot of what you call it? Documentaries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
By the way, I was looking earlier on the text line. Sanitary was the word I was looking for about fishing my phone out of the toilet.
Yeah, not very sanitary.
Yeah, you guys walk around like y'all's damn vocabulary so much better than mine. Hell, y'all couldn't help me, man. Text line got me though. I appreciate it. Our listeners got my back, baby. But some of the most entertaining TV, man, is this TNT. Halftime and primetime, you know, NBA on TV, a TNT group with Charles Barkley and Shaq and Ernie and Kenny. And I learn, I'm entertained every single game, whether it's a Rockets game or not. So I love it. But recently, and I think this has been going on a while, correct me if I'm wrong, Cecil, but the Charles Barkley talking smack about Draymond Green. I think I've seen that multiple times,
but
apparently it's word got back to Draymond Green and he doesn't really appreciate it. Listen, this is Draymond Green talking about Charles Barkley.
Barkley should stop before I go take his job though. So I can do that well too. He already didn't make enough money playing, so he need that job. He should stop talking to me. I like to, you know, tendency to end people. So he should stop before I take his job.
Not soon, though.
If he keep talking, you know, I'll take it soon. Sooner than he thinks. So yeah, he probably should be quiet. He also can't talk basketball with me either. Not smart enough, not qualified. No rings, can't sit at this table.
No rings, can't sit at this table. You know, here's my deal on this is, see, so when I first heard it, and then I started seeing the pushback that Draymond was getting, right? I can't help but think, like, man, Barkley sits in the studio, and he don't just analyze basketball. And I'm glad he doesn't because I enjoy the hell out of it. My man disrespects folks.
At times, yes.
I mean, and it's funny.
It's funny.
But it's no, like, it's every, once a show, every single show, there are times when he says something. And I feel like I'm a locker room guy where I push the envelope a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Barkley says stuff that makes me go, ooh, I don't know if that's going to go over real well right there. So when I saw Draymond getting a lot of pushback initially, I was like, come on, y'all. I mean, man, Barkley signs up for this kind of backlash, doesn't he?
That's his role. Like, that's his role on TNT.
No doubt about it.
He gives work to anybody and everybody. He doesn't hold back on nothing.
Right.
That's why he is Charles Barkley. That's his persona. That's why he is on TNT for every game they have on TNT.
Right.
The thing I have an issue with, I don't agree with what in Draymond's statement, he can talk basketball with you. And he was a damn better basketball player than what you are.
Yeah.
No offense to Draymond. I think Draymond's good. But he's a Hall of Famer now. Like, let's not talk like Charles Barkley wasn't that dude.
Right.
Like, Charles was legit now.
Yeah, one of them that I saw, hell, it may have been you, Cecil. Somebody tweeted and said if Charles Barkley would have played with Kevin Durant Stephen and
Clay,
yeah, I mean, he said he'd have had 10 championships.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
man.
I mean, look, I don't know how you – When you get to that breakdown of it, then there's no argument. There's no conversation.
Not at all. And I think he gets a little too sensitive. The media has their job to do. Now, you're right. Barkley does get on people's nerves. And you can't – it's harder now as an athlete. You can't get away from certain stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's on social media. People are talking about it, tweeting it, Instagram. Media's going to ask you about Instagram and social media. Well, it's on the news. It's everywhere. So it's hard not to hear certain stuff, especially if it's about you in particular. But for me, I try to be like, okay, let's just not get too sensitive. Let's not get too personal.
You think he got sensitive? You think he was sensitive, or you think he was just bucking back a little bit?
I thought it was sensitive.
Yeah,
bucking back would be, you know, saying something quickly and then moving on. He was sensitive. He was kind of well thought out going in a good 45 seconds, you know, trying to dog Charles Barkley, trying to belittle him.
Right. You think he's got a future in TV?
Draymond? I wouldn't. Nah, I don't think so. I think
he will out of the shoot.
I don't know. Why?
Because he's got those rings and TV don't give a rip who you play with. If you got those rings and then you get in front of that camera.
Is he going to be entertaining?
And you got
though?
Some chops. I don't know. I never would have thought that Shaq or King. I can see where Barkley's funny. Like, he's always been a comedian, like trying to be funny and pushing the envelope. Yeah. And so I could see. But Shaq and Kenny, like, I didn't peg them when I was watching them playing, like, this dude's going to be great on TV, mm-hmm. you know, and they kill it.
I tell you what, I do like hearing, because I don't consider Draymond a superstar or even a star.
Agreed.
Right, so I do like hearing, like, role players get on there and talk basketball because they seem like they'll know a ton of hoops and just learning the game. So I think Draymond would be good in that aspect. I don't know if I want to hear him, though.
Yeah.
I don't like hearing Chris Webber a lot. I don't like hearing those guys, but I love to hear Barkley and Kenny Smith and Shaq and those guys on there.
5616 on the text line. If Barkley played with Clay and Curry, they wouldn't have needed Durant.
Mm.
Fair enough.
Mm.
They didn't need Durant. They won one without Durant, didn't they?
Yeah, they won two without
Durant. So he got one without Durant. So that could hold true for Draymond as well. Hey, Cecil, were you a big, and I know the times have changed, definitely for me,
mm-hmm.
From a nutrition standpoint when you were playing, were you big into taking care of your body outside of just working out and the recommended from a nutritional standpoint?
Yeah, I did. I had nutritionists. I had a cook. They would deliver meals to me every week. So it was a set meal plan. But I still ate good. I'm a big sweets guy. I love sweets. I love my meats. So I just try to eat healthy. I didn't try to change anything crazy. I just try to eat extremely healthy. Veggies, fruits, proteins.
Yeah, like, well, I wish I'd known that as a player. I've done it a lot better in my post-playing career than I did when I was there.
Well, times have changed, though.
Yeah, times changed, all right. Life got real. Stuff got real, real quick, boy. And then all of a sudden, you know, that street life wasn't as important. But Cam Newton. I read a little deal on Cam Newton earlier about he went vegan in like February. And so I'm reading this article, and the whole point of the article is that Cam Newton going vegan is in one way, shape, or another affecting his ability to recover.
Wait, so this past February, like in 2020 or February 2019?
The way I was reading it was this past
like last
February.
Month. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
And I guess he's trying to recover. Okay. Anyway, the whole point of it was that guys lose weight, and the vegan diet you don't have enough protein in your body to handle essentially the amount of calories that you're burning to play the sport and to work out and to keep your strength and to do the things that you need to as an athlete. And some of the stuff was, you know, it affects your ability to recover, which obviously Cam Newton's had a hard time recovering. I guess it would be last February because this February was hell. It's just turned March. So yeah, it probably was last February, but he got injured, and then he's had a hard time recovering. And I mean, some people are I guess some dietitians within this article that they quoted were saying that it's difficult to recover a lot of times if you're a vegan.
Yeah, to me, if you're an athlete, there's certain things you can do that the general public can do.
Yeah, that's my point. Like, why the hell would you do that?
Like, don't reinvent the wheel. Eat healthy.
I mean, Cam Newton, just eat chicken and fish,
chicken
bro.
And fish and salads and fruit. Like,
stay off the bottle.
Don't reinvent the wheel. That's
stay off the bottle. That's it, man. I mean, you're talking about, like, if you walked in the studio today and said, hey, Clint, tell me, he went vegan in 2019, by the way, our Carolina listener here. Appreciate that, baby.
Perfect.
Tell me who could get away with not giving a riff about their diet. The first guy I would mention is Cam Newton. That is the That is the number one specimen in my ideas, in my eyes, as far as putting a guy together. 6'5 and a half, 250, built like a brick outhouse.
Yep.
Like, why in the hell would you want to go vegan? Like, why? I mean, Chief, just keep the fish and chicken diet rolling. You're all good.
Yeah, I think sometimes we let the wrong people in our ear. We wow. let too many people, you know what I mean, try to get in our ear and think yes. this is the right way to do things, and this will help you when in natural, like, as an athlete. It's going to hurt you. Just keep it simple.
Yeah.
Meat, chicken, salmon, no fried foods. Eat your salads, get your greens, eat some fruit. It's not that hard.
I just thought all the success that guy's had and as good as that sucker looked, why in the hell would you try to mess that up? Want to be 230, want to lose some weight. Nah, boss man, you're a bad man the way you were now. Quarterbacks in the draft. Joe Burrow, Tua, Jordan Love, bunch of good quarterbacks in this draft. We're gonna chop them up next right here on Sports Radio 610. Joined by Cecil Shorts III, former Houston Texans wide receiver. 2020 draft. It's going to be here before we know it. Couple of quarterbacks that are interesting crop of quarterbacks this year in the draft. You got one guy that's climbed to the top.
Yeah.
Just overnight. You know, one guy that's been tabbed the generational talent since high school, since Elite 11 stuff. Love, a guy that fell off, you know, and from numbers fell off from 2018 to 2019. Then you got Justin Herbert, who kind of just jumped on the scene, but he's your 2020 big body, long armed, good athlete, guy that everybody's banking on. But I wanted to take a minute and discuss each one of these guys. See, so I'm intrigued with each one of them, man. Who's your favorite? We'll go with these right here. Joe Burrow. Tua, Jordan Love, Justin Herbert. Who's your favorite out of that bunch?
My favorite would be Burrow. Just, I think he was the real deal. I think I like his progression from his first year with LSU till now. Plus, I'm a Ohio State fan, so I followed him when he was at Ohio State.
Sure.
Tua worries me. Love, I think, can be a dark horse. Herbert, I'm not a big fan of.
Yeah.
Long release. Just not a big fan of him.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about Joe Burrow, I caught a little heat over at Hans Crawfish Services when I said that Joe Burrow, I think it's a little overrated. I mean, look, when I talk about Joe Burrow, I love what I've seen. There's no debating that. Like, you can't – there's nothing to not like about the best college season that a quarterback's put together, arguably, ever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But the sample size is very small. So as good as that season was, and there's no denying that, there's also no denying that the sample size was very small, right? Mm-hmm. There's no denying that he had two of the probably top five, top six receivers in the country.
Thanks.
That he was throwing to. And look, again, more power to him. I love it. It was beautiful. It's fun to watch. But we've got to acknowledge those facts. And I think when you talk about Joe Burrow, I think a lot of times – They did great against the better talent in the country as well. So I'm not knocking those performances, but a lot of the season is played, and Joe Burrow is taking the field, and on his sideline, there is a large gap between the talent on his sideline and the talent on the opposite sideline, mm-hmm. right? And you know, I'd say 75% of their games, that's the case, right? That's okay. Not going to be the case in the NFL. In fact, I'll argue if he goes to Cincinnati, it's going to flip.
Oh, absolutely.
Right, where there's going to be half of his, 50% of his games that he plays his rookie absolutely. Year, he's going to be fighting an uphill battle. That team's going to be more talented than his team is at Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And so I just think there's a big – going from college to the NFL for Joe Burrow is going to be a big shock simply for that reason.
Would you recommend him playing right away, no matter where he goes? Or do you think it's best to sit a rookie quarterback down, like an Aaron Rodgers or something, sit behind somebody when he's ready? All right, let's put him in and get some reps.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think sitting is – I didn't sit in college as long as I should have. I played quite a bit. I didn't start, but I played quite a bit my freshman year, and I wasn't ready. If I'd have had that extra year to mature a little bit, it would have been special. Not that this is college that we're talking about, but the fact that starting early before you're ready – is detrimental in so many ways, especially if, again, the talent on his sideline is not quite what's across the field from him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not he's not a guy that's going to go in there and win with arm talent and win with arm strength. I think in college it was above average. In college,
arm strength, you're saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In college, it allowed him to win. It wasn't a problem. I think in the league, it's going to be average at best. When you talk about average at best with Joe Burrow, yeah, it's. Look, there ain't nothing wrong with being average in the league. Mm-hmm. When you talk about arm talent.
No. Yeah,
the thing is when you see an Aaron Rodgers or a Pat Mahomes or some of those guys, you go arm strength, getting the ball there, on platform, off platform, accuracy. Like it's never going to be a problem. It's not going to be. They're going to be put 6 feet under and still be able to sling the rock. You know what I mean? They're going to literally full gray hair. They're going to be slinging the peel. I mean, it's just he's not that kind of arm talent. And so Joe Burrow is a guy that, quite frankly, with all of that said, for me, is a major concern at number one.
If you were him in his shoes right now, knowing what Cincinnati has there, which is not much, right? And he already used some of his leverage and saying, hey, I want y'all to keep AJ Green if y'all want me to come around, basically. Would you pull an Eli Manning and say, hey, listen, this is not where I want to go?
Absolutely.
Really? Why?
Because I the dysfunction that is in these organizations that just have been through quarterback after quarterback after quarterback, coaching change after coach, offensive coordinator change. Like it's bigger than a quarterback problem.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't love Andy Dalton. But is Andy Dalton a serviceable quarterback? Sure.
Absolutely.
Why did he not ever have any consistent success there? Because it was dysfunctional around the quarterback. And it's just so hard to play this position when things are right. It is damn near impossible when it's dysfunction around you. And so, I would have to feel really good about Zach Taylor. Mm-hmm. I'd have to feel really good about the GM and about them surrounding me. I don't know if you and I talked about it. No, I didn't. No, I know we didn't, because Landry Locker and I did, and Landry jumped to my punchline on the segment last Friday. But in talking about Joe Burrow, he's one of the guys to me that has the ability to put their foot down. I don't like diva quarterbacks. I don't like quarterbacks that force a hand and trade me kind of deal. But when there's dysfunction within, I'd put my foot down, man, and say, look, you're going to AJ Green's going to be there. Mm. There's certain things that have to be guaranteed moving forward personnel wise. That I'm not coming if they're not there. If it's not in writing, and I don't even know if that's possible. I don't even know what's legal or illegal, but there would have to be some really, really good, big warm and fuzzies for me to not pull an Eli Manning.
I couldn't agree with you more. When it comes to dysfunctional or a non-stable organization, I've seen it firsthand with Jacksonville. When they drafted Blaine Gabbert, 2011, round one overall, I think number 11th overall, something like that.
Yeah.
Crazy arm talent, can make any throw. Tall, big arm guy. That's a lockout year. The very first day we came to training camp, because there was no offseason programs, they said, listen, to the whole team, GM's in there, head coaches up there talking, that was Del Rio at the time, owners in there, they say David Garrard's our starting quarterback. Blaine's going to sit, he'll redshirt this year, and then he'll be the guy moving forward in the future. We'll let them guys fight for it. 2 weeks later, David Garrard was cut. We had Luke McCown, he played one or two games, and next thing you know, they threw Blaine Gabbert in there with no offensive line, no receivers. Yep. All we had was Jones Drew. It was just a bad situation, and that ruined his career. Now he's coming back along to be a decent backup, but it just ruined him. And I'm thinking, if Joe Burrow gets in a situation like that, number one overall pick, it can ruin your career.
In a hurry now.
I mean, you mentioned it. You mentioned it off air on Friday. You've seen him ducking people. Like Blaine Gabbert talking about ducking people, ducking for sacks when nobody's there.
He's seeing ghosts. You hear Sam Darnold talking about it now.
That stuff is real, man.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, man. Look at how bad, and look, I'm not giving anybody any, cutting anybody any slack, but look at how bad, look how hard of a time Baker Mayfield's having dealing with what's going on in Cleveland.
Yeah, that's a fact.
I mean, he's done a terrible job. And people, we would get personal with him about how he's handled it. Yeah, and he's got to do better. But ultimately, what you're watching go on with Baker Mayfield is a product. It's a that's what dysfunction does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a product of dysfunction, and it's hard to deal with. So yeah, Joe Burrow, I got some serious question marks. Tua, I love what I've seen, a lot of good. Again, I encourage you to go out there and look at the numbers versus the top defenses that he's played throughout his career. They're not going to be. I know the stats in general are just eye popping. You look at him, you go, "Good God, Tua's a monster." Mm-hmm. But when you really break it down versus the better defenses, how many times the numbers are average, and then how many times he got injured? I think it's crazy to not look at him as injury prone, and maybe not as electric with his arm as people think. I don't know yet. The jury's still out for me. From an arm strength, arm talent standpoint, he can spin it, but when it comes to in the league, then the windows are tight.
Oh yeah, can he put it in there?
Can you put it in there?
Yeah.
He's throwing again against my alma mater. So look, I don't like saying this, but he's throwing seam routes versus Arkansas where the safeties, I mean, eyes are in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Much less his body, and so
come on, Razorbacks.
Yeah, come on, they got to get it right. But I mean, so I'm not overly convinced with Tua. The whole generational talent thing that you hear people talk about, man, that's one of those deals where if he walked in and sat down for 5 minutes, you and I would know. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Trent Dilfer started that thing, and he's stroked it pretty good over the last 3 or 4 years now. I mean, he's convinced that Tua is a generational talent, and so I can't put too much stock in that right now because I haven't been around him. So the injury-prone thing with Tua really scares me, though, man, to be completely honest with you. That scares me.
Listen, wherever he goes, he's going to be getting hit. He's going to be getting pounced on. I just have not seen him stay healthy for an entire season. I haven't seen him play well outside his freshman year against top-tier talent over and over again.
Well, see, so
it's frustrating.
You got to think about it, brother. The same thing I said about Burrow with the talent gap from sideline to sideline across the field. From 75% of the time, it's – I mean, it's tilted so heavily in his – and look, again, I ain't hating on the guy.
No. It's reality.
But it's the real deal. In the league, it's not going to be like that.
If you look at what Tua had at receiver, two first rounds going this year, possibly three or four. combine them for next year.
At one point, I looked at – there was a list, and I know it was Mel Kiper or one of them. Three of his receivers were in the top six receivers in the country.
It's crazy. Now, I'll tell you what. This is my comparison. I compared Tua to Matt Leinart just on the – the arm strength.
That lefty stroke.
The arm strength is not there. You question somebody. Can he put it in certain spots, the tighter windows, and then him being surrounded by these incredible athletes that make him look maybe a little better than what he is. I think he's very accurate at his throws. No doubt about that. And I think he does have talent. But is he a guy that's going to go into a franchise and turn that thing around? I'm just not sold on that.
Yeah, that's Trent Dilfer is. You know, that's the deal. We'll see if somebody wants to pay for that, and I think somebody will. We'll just have to see it in the long run. Justin Herbert, I told you guys last week kind of where I sat with Justin Herbert, man. I'm not Justin Herbert to me is the Mitchell Trubisky of this draft. Right? He's the Josh Allen of this draft. Right? Yeah. And I don't mean that negatively. I say that.
Yes, you do.
No.
You can't mean it any other way.
No,
There's nothing good about Mitchell Trubisky right now.
Well, the only thing that, he's a project, and somebody drafted him. Somebody did him a disservice, drafted him early, and they haven't developed him. Now, I don't know if that's on him or that's on them. I don't know whose fault that is. But when you talk about a big 6'4", 6'5", white guy that can run and he throws the go ball and everybody goes, wow, this guy's awesome. Like,
Josh Allen.
No, man. Yeah, that's Josh Allen. That's Mitchell Trubisky.
I see it.
It's the big arm. It's the above average athlete, but it's not dynamic enough with twitch to be a true run threat. But get out there and they'll tough their way. You know, they'll run over a couple of guys. They'll out physical their way for a couple of first down. But they're really not run first threats, and they never develop their arm. That's what Justin Herbert is. Justin Herbert is a guy that needs to go somewhere, sit behind somebody, get with a technician, a mechanics coach, really quicken up his delivery. And work on his snap so that the screens and the slants and the hitches and the curls and the digs are all just natural. You just snap that sucker out, and then he's got a chance. But he's going to get drafted somewhere, and he's going to go in there, and it's going to be throw to the wolves. Mm-hmm. And he's not technically – he's Blake Bortles. He's not technically sound to do all the stuff underneath at a high level, at an NFL caliber level, and it's gonna be to his detriment. That's my evaluation. I could be completely wrong, but that's where I see Justin Herbert falling.
Well, no, this is your show, so you have the right, you have the right to say what you want to say when you want to say it. But give me some examples. Technically sound. He's not technically sound. What are you talking about when you say not technically sound?
Well, he's not a snap thrower. Like he's all arm. Like it's a
big, so it's no
like
hips. There's no nothing. No,
there's body and there's he's better with that. It's a snap throw is like you just picture Aaron Rodgers. Like he doesn't need to transfer his weight. He doesn't need to rotate through it. It's literally just a snap of the wrist.
Gone. Gotcha.
And he's the most powerful snapper of the football I've ever seen. So I just gave you an extreme example. But guys, like I'm a snapper of the football. Mm-hmm. Right, my arm's not very strong. I wasn't very tall, but I snapped the ball out. So when you snap the football out of your hand the right way, there's technically a right – your index finger should leave the ball last. They shouldn't all four leave the ball at the same time. Mm. And so when you snap the ball out, it's easier to be accurate. It's easier to lay the ball on the sideline. It's easier to turn the tip over in the red zone. Just technically, it is a fact. There's no argument. Big arm guys have a hard time inside the 20-yard line turning the tip of the football over on the back pylon because it's all arm and they're chunking it. They're not passing it. They're not snapping it. He to me, and really a large percentage of guys that you see struggle with accuracy is because they're big arm guys. It's all arm. It's all shoulder. There's no snap of the football. There's no control. And so he's one of those guys. So he's going to struggle with the technical aspect of things unless somebody gets him and gets that snap right. Let me get to the one I love before we run out of time.
No pun intended.
Jordan Love from Utah, man. Utah State, I'm sorry. This dude right here, he naturally – what I just told you Herbert doesn't have, he has. Like you did, there's no – you can see it in – I trained a kid – when he was in like seventh grade and his little brother came out to catch and his little brother catches a ball as a receiver and turns and throws it back to me. And I turned to mom and dad and I said, and now they understood the kid I was training was a backup quarterback. He was really a receiver, but a backup quarterback. And he played at a school that throws it 50 times a game. Mm-hmm. And they were like, if he gets in the game, we want to at least know what the hell he's doing. So I was just teaching the kid base carriage, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, little brother turns and snaps it back at me, like snaps it. Yeah. Just quick. I looked at mom and dad. I said, "That's your quarterback right there. This one's the receiver. That's your quarterback." I mean, he didn't end up being a very big kid, pretty athletic. He's walking on at SMU. I mean, the snap I'm talking about. You can see it in one throw. Mm. Jordan Love has that nasty snap, and people are knocking because a bunch of I think he lost 9 starters from 2018 to 2019, so his numbers went down. He struggled as a quarterback.
He lost his coordinator too, didn't he? Didn't some coaches leave him off inside the ball?
If I remember correctly, some of Utah State's
– not sure what exactly, but some coaches did leave him off inside the ball that helped with the play calling.
Yeah, okay. But, getting to – with him, Cecil, it's – the arm talent's beautiful, so it's going to translate so beautifully. And the last mock draft that I saw has him to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Chief.
Weapons galore.
Could you imagine him with that receiving corps and Bruce Arians? Come on, man.
Bruce.
And so you're talking about a guy that could fall into a beautiful, not say fall, he's actually climbed, but could end up in a beautiful, beautiful situation. And I think he could play early there. He's got the tools to play early there, and I trust Bruce Arians to take care of him and put him in a good spot.
Yeah.
I love him at Tampa.
See, I think that's the thing. You trust Bruce. Like, you trust Arians. He's a quarterback guru. Yeah. He's been with so many guys. He has the weapons around him, from O.J. Howard to tight end to Mike Evans to Chris Godwin. Two guys went over 1,000 yards the past year. Like, you have the talent around him. Now, that's easier to plug in a rookie when you have a guru at quarterback position and then weapons around him. That's a whole lot easier than going somewhere like Cincinnati. And he will be the best player on the field.
Well, look at Adam Gase with the New York Jets. He's got his quarterback up there seeing ghosts.
Yeah.
I mean, and Sam Darnold's special now. Mark my word.
You like Sam, really?
Hell yeah. You mark my word, Sam Darnold, if he ever gets out of the dysfunction of the NFL and gets to an organization where he's surrounded with some good stuff, Sam Darnold will ball out.
Wow. Well, what stands out about Sam?
I mean, he's a monster. He spin it from a phone booth, all the throws. Mm. Now, Look, I've never been in a locker room with him, so he could be a mental midget as far as seeing ghosts and his coach, you know, not being able to get along with his coach or not being able to accept coaching. I don't know about that, but physically, that's what you want. That dude made some throws at USC that I was like, whoa,
nice.
Come on, man, that's nasty. You see, you know, normal people see him and go, that's a good throw, mm-hmm. but when he does it from a phone booth and it's just a quick short stroke, it's like, golly, that's impressive right there. Couple text lines talking again. Tua is the most athletic game changer in college. Game manager in college. Game manager. Okay, I was fixing to get on you right there. 8793. I didn't read that.
That was pretty good.
I didn't read it properly. Tua is the most athletic game manager in college. He can manage a game. Who do you even like coming out of this draft, Clint? I don't dislike Burrow. I don't dislike Tua. I just didn't get on the mic and stroke him like everybody on TV does. I just gave you a couple of little things to think about. That's not necessarily their strengths. They're beautiful. They're great players. Hell, I love Tua. I love Joe Burrow. I would consider drafting those guys if I were an offensive coordinator. I'm just saying there's reason to be concerned with the top guys in this draft.
Real quick, how you feel about Fromm?
That he's sealing out. He's a backup in the league.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So we've seen the best of
him. His best bet is to go to New Orleans, mm-hmm. sit behind Drew Brees, and hope that he can play in that offense because he is the best he's ever going to be is in that from a talent standpoint, arm strength standpoint is in that Drew Brees mold. Mm-hmm. The arm talent, arm strength is not. It's nowhere near where it needs to be. 5 o'clock. Are we already at 5 o'clock fire? Get the hell out of here, B-Mac. It's 5 o'clock, baby. We got Houston's. We had several of them today. We got Houston's top sports stories of the day, baby. Coming at you next. 5 o'clock fire. Stay right here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.